Well, if I was lacking any inspiration to preach this morning, I've sure got it now. That was beautiful. I'm sure everybody that was in there saw their picture first. Right, guys? We have, this is our third year, I believe, of having some form of a theme for the year. Pastor Philip had a year of preparation, and then last year we felt led to have a year of demonstration, and we've proclaimed this as a year of edification. And I just want to start this morning by saying, what does that mean anyway? Edifice, edification, what's the definition of it? What does it mean? What does it mean to edify? Well, the dictionary says to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to construct, to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to construct. And the Bible version is oikodomeo or something like that. I'm better in Spanish than Greek or Hebrew. But it's from the same root that says to be a house builder. And I was thinking while we were seeing those pictures of that foundation they went to repair. That church was a Catholic church built in the 1800s. When they got down to see what was wrong with it, they found that there was no concrete under it. It was just dirt, and it was man-made bricks, but it held up about 120 years already. But you see, that's kind of what we have to do sometimes is remodel. We construct, and then we look at our foundation. So as I preach this morning, well, ask yourself about your own personal foundation in the Lord. To be a house builder, to construct, or to confirm someone, to affirm someone. First of all, I don't know if I should even put this in there. I don't know how theologically correct it is, because I said we have to start with edifying the Lord. Then I had to ask myself, does he really need us to edify him? Well, he has created us as worshipers. Every person in the world, we will be next Sunday with Faith Promise talking about what God is doing around the world. And our whole goal in missions is worship. Because there will be a time that the last Mexico Christmas outreach is over. We did 30 of those. We think there will be another one. We don't know. But there will be a time that every summer outreach is over. Every missionary has been sent to the field. But there will never be a time where there will not be worship, because our people that have gone ahead of us this morning are worshiping Jesus around the throne of God. And so the worship is something he has created us to do. And there's a vacancy. There is a void in every person's life in this world, every lost person in this world, because they were created to be worshipers. I was so blessed as Pastor Jody came up this morning with the children, and you saw the children we reached out to, the children of inmates during the Hope at Christmas here. And the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. It's not in my message. Is that okay? That there's another meaning of the scripture that says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. That's what's happening in these children's lives. It's a small beginning. But I had to stop this morning when we were singing, "It's All About You, Jesus." And I had to stop and out there and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you that at 4 years of age, I was coming to my dad's platform singing, doing little things for Jesus. Every day, you know, doing little things for Jesus." And that somehow that was imparted to me at that small beginning of age. And that wasn't too long ago. Well, more than I want to admit. But that was a small beginning that the Lord did. And so I said, yes, let's talk about edifying the Lord through a life of thanksgiving, through a life of praise, through a life of worship. Does God really need edification? Well, Psalms 22:3, let's look at that. "But thou art holy, O Lord, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." What that really means, in my understanding, he dwells in the praises of his people. King James Version. And New King James says, "But you, O holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. I really believe he is present in worship. And so he's enthroned. He's right there, and we're around him. And it's a time where that he is blessed. Did you know that we can bless the Lord? Or we can bring grief to the Lord? We can bring a heart of joy to the Lord? Or we can break his heart through our life, through our living in the way that we were not created to live, by not allowing him to do everything he wants to do in our lives and in our future, that we can bring heartbreak to God. But we can bring joy. We can be there. And as we are worshiping, I have found that if we don't have worshipers, they won't grow in the Lord. They may not even stay in focus to the Lord. They may not even stay in growth to the Lord, because if they have not learned to enter into his presence at a time of worship and be able to allow him to touch their lives, then there's going to be a downhill plunge in their Christian experience. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. And so it's a life that he has that we can participate in him. I believe God can do without us, but he's chosen not to. He's chosen to involve us in his kingdom, in his life, and that it's a life of edification. And as I prepared this message, well, my thoughts went back to a song that Keith Green wrote and still sings. You can Google it. It's there online, and it says, "Make my life a prayer to you." Not just words of worship, not just the jumping around, but a lifestyle of worship. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. He has a book out that Melody wrote after his death, No Compromise. Think about it. I shared with someone yesterday, the problem in our world is the counsel of the ungodly. And Psalms 1 says it so well. It says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And the ungodly world out there doesn't have the answer. That's what our problem is now, is that they're not living according to God's word, and destruction is on its way, and we're in big trouble as a church unless revival comes. Because we're going to be a segment of people that are going to be despised by the world, because we're different. He says, no compromise. He goes on, I want to die. And he did. But he's talking about dying to self. I want to die and let you give your life to me so that I might live and share the hope you gave me, the love that set me free. We're to have a lifestyle of edification unto the Lord. Our whole life is to be to build him up and to have a life of edification. Another thing we're to edify is his kingdom. His kingdom. May our prayer be, Lord, your kingdom come. That is what we sang about this morning. We sang his time. It's time. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. And I want to proclaim today that what you just saw in this video is the kingdom of God being revealed. It's like the song said, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lost are found, that it's the kingdom of God being revealed, and we need to be those that are purposed and focused on edifying the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our problem sometimes is it's not your kingdom come, it's my kingdom come. My kingdom come. First of all, I want to tell you, this is not my church. Pastors say, my church is doing pretty good. No, that's a problem, see. That's the problem. It's his church, and it's His kingdom, and it's not our kingdom, it's not our life, it's not even our agenda. So many times we have our plans, Sister Angeles gave me a scripture there on New Year's Eve by text. You can do that if you want to. She gave me this text. It was in Spanish, but it said, man makes his plan, but God orders his steps. And it's not our kingdom. It's not our way. It's not even our ambition. It's not even our wants. It's Lord, your kingdom, your kingdom. So we're to be edifiers of the kingdom of God. We're to be edifiers of his body. I don't know if you have had a revelation or not, but you need to know what that means by the body of Christ. Even in communion, we talk about this is my body, which was broken for you. That's true. But Scripture reveals that now that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, that we're his body on earth, and that we are to edify the body of Christ, that it is there for the equipping of the saints. That's what the fivefold ministry is for in Ephesians 4:12, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we are to be those that if this is going to be a year of edification, then it's edifying the body of Christ that is there, that is his church. What is the body of Christ? It's his church. What is his church? It's every born again believer in the world. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord, everyone that has been saved from their sins and ready and preparing to be the bride of Christ and to walk with him throughout eternity, that's the body of Christ. We're to love his church as he loves his church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives. Now, we can stop and preach on that, men, and it's a very important scripture. But the second part says, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so we see the church is that which he has created. He said, this is upon this rock will I build my church, the church of Jesus, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He put that there because there will be an effort to destroy the body of Christ, to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Wednesday nights, will we pray specifically for the persecuted church and even specifically for people that we have found out that are in jail right there or they're being sentenced to death. And we pray for those people, and that's his church. He loves his church, and that we are to be those that love the church even as he did and give ourselves for the church. It's easy to criticize the church at large or the local church or the church of Tyler or whatever. It's easy to criticize that and find out what's wrong. But be careful. He loves that church. He loves that church. I tell you what, you start talking about my wife, I'm gonna get upset with you, you know, because I love my wife. Well, if he loves